Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, hello, and welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. Lee Kelly joins me in studio. A lot of Lee Kelly this week on the Big X. We had sectional baseball last night out at Jeffersonville. Two really good games. We've got a couple good games, we think, tonight coming. So I'll be really disappointed, Lee, if Silver Creek and Providence isn't just a fabulous game tonight. And then we'll also have Charlestown in Salem live. That starts at 5:30 tonight on the Big X. So plenty of stuff to talk about. Great time of year, beautiful weather. Let's knock on wood that we have good weather Saturday. I heard some rumblings last night out at Jeffersonville that there's a potential that those Saturday semifinal games could be finagled a little bit if there are some weather. As maybe there's been a little mention of it come into the area Saturday. But love Memorial Day. Love the extended weekend, although we're going to be doing a show Monday and then doing baseball at 1 o'clock, some sort of sectional championship game with the local teams around, which I think they will be. It'll be fun, and let's just hope the weather stays clear. Beautiful holiday, always a great holiday to celebrate our country, and hope that it continues to be like it was last night. Some great games.
Yeah, and this was kind of the weekend that everybody thought of as opening up the summer season for years. I'm not sure that's exactly as true today as it used to be, but nonetheless, Memorial Day weekend opens the summer, Labor Day closes the summer. That's the way it used to be. And by the way, got a couple of phone calls just mysteriously from in-laws in Seymour this morning, just gloating a tad bit about both their boys and baseball team and their girls softball team that won last night. The Seymour boys team knocking off New Albany, the number one team in the state in baseball sectional play. And the Seymour girls, my wife has a nephew that's coaching on that staff now. They were pretty excited after knocking off Floyd Central on the girls' side last night at Bedford.
Yeah, big night for Seymour last night. Big win in baseball over the number one team in 4A. And you mentioned the softball game as well. Floyd Central has been so dominant in softball for a number of years now, and I did not see that one coming. So that definitely an interesting score. Kind of interesting to hear the reaction, too, as that score was announced last night at Jeffersonville. Even those that don't follow softball, don't go to any games, people know that that was a big upset, especially in postseason play. So plenty of stuff to talk about. Glad you're with us today. Let's get right into the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Thursday program here in segment two, once Lee and I talk about last night's games and get you set for tonight and a couple other headlines, will be Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by Coffee Crossing, presented by CC Power Sports. Wow. I tell you what, some interesting things to talk about today. The APR, the Academic Progress Report, that comes out each year from the NCAA showed a bit of a decline for IU men's basketball over the past three seasons. And there are some definitive reasons for that that may not be as bad on the surface as they appear. So we'll talk with that with Alex about that. And, of course, we'll get into some recruiting stuff. And there's a handful of things we'll chat about with him. But we'll have Alex on in segment two today. And then in the final segment, Derek Ellis, the coach of Jeffersonville, he will join us. And Derek has got a – Coach Ellis, I should say – has got a busy week because he's preparing his team, who has a number of off days for a semifinal game. His team drew the bye and will play Jennings County on Saturday. but he's also got to keep the Jeffersonville field ready and rolling to go. So he was trying to do a little scouting last night of the first-round games. He was trying to keep the field manicured and protected in between games so that thing stays nice for the weekend's games and Monday's championship game. But he's going to take a few minutes out and join us later in the program to talk some sectional baseball. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Lee, you, I think, stayed up a little later than I did last night because you're going to talk about the IU baseball game. They lost a game to Illinois that I guess the loss really isn't that surprising, but the way the loss happened a little surprising out in Omaha at the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, it was a pitcher's duel for a good portion of the game, and then the defense just kind of fell apart for IU just long enough for Illinois to take the lead, and it ended up a 7-1 loss for IU last night against Illinois. And what it does, puts them in the loser's bracket. Indiana 37-16 on the year and had high hopes of putting on a good show out at the Big Ten tournament. So they came in as the number 5 seed, and after that loss, they will now be facing number 8 seed Michigan State in an elimination game that will be at 2 p.m. today. So IU has put itself in a very precarious position. I don't know they need to win the Big Ten to get into the NCAA tournament, but it certainly would help if they would at least have a good showing. Two losses in a row and out isn't a good showing.
Absolutely, and it's an IU baseball team that played really, really well for a great part of the season. They dipped down a little bit in the final weeks of the season, but seemed to recover and have a nice close to the year. But obviously, the Big Ten tournament, that is not that's not the start you want, not only to get beat, but to get beat in the fashion that they did. It was a late night game. I don't think first pitch was until like 10:25, 10:30 last night out at TD Ameritrade, which obviously is the site of the College World Series as well. So maybe the Big Ten Conference getting a little advantage. If someone can muster through the regional and super regional, they'll find their way back to Omaha for the College World Series, which, as I said earlier this week, in a little slower sports time, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch college baseball and softball.
It is, and I love high school baseball because I think it's very pure the way the kids play the game and look at the game. College, a very close second, watching these teams play in their conference tournaments and then in the different regionals around. Just enjoy the heck out of it. A lot of fun.
Couple NBA notes. Victor Oladipo named to the NBA All-Defensive First Team. Again, what a season he had for the Indiana Pacers. He had 2.4 steals per game. His 177 total steals were the most in the NBA since Ricky Rubio recorded 191 steals for Minnesota back during the 2013-14 season. He recorded a steal in 64 consecutive appearances to end the record in the regular season, which was a new franchise record for most consecutive games with at least one steal, and it tied the fourth longest streak in NBA history as well. So and I appreciate that, all defensive team. That's what makes Victor Oladipo the complete player that he is, that he's built his game into. So kudos to him for that award. And one other note, NBA note, OG Anunoby, I thought, had some really good moments for Toronto, even in the playoffs as well. He had that last-second shot against the Cavs in regulation, even though they would go on to lose that game and eventually the series. But I thought it was a very good year for him and a lot of promise for his NBA future. He appears to be someone that is going to make it in the NBA, maybe could play a number of years in the NBA, may never be a star, but definitely can play a role for the Toronto franchise. And despite starting 62 games, he was left off the NBA's all-rookie teams. I thought that was surprising. Wasn't obviously in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. I'm not saying that, but definitely thought he would have a chance to be on the all-rookie team, first or second team, and he wasn't. So that was a little surprising. A couple other high school basketball notes I want to get to before we get back into some baseball talk here in this first segment. Summer basketball. You know, we talk so much, Lee, about AAU and with everything going on with Romeo and with the shoe circuits and recruiting and, of course, the FBI stuff in college hoops. A lot of talk this year about shoe companies and their involvement in summer basketball. We're going to flip the script on that, though, in June, because June is the month, and it's this way in Kentucky. It's this way in Indiana. I think in most states, June is the time that high school coaches have and take advantage of the opportunity to work with their team. But the Kentucky-Anna Summer Basketball League will take place for the sixth year at New Albany High School in southern Indiana. Louisville Moore will be the location across the river. 38 different high schools will play in this league, and it's really not a league. Some schools will play for one night. Some schools will play for many nights. Some schools will only play in Indiana. Some schools will only play at the Louisville location. But 38 different schools, 93 different teams when you factor in varsity, JV, freshman, C team. Some teams enter two varsity teams, two JV teams, et cetera, to get plenty of playing time for kids. There are some middle school opportunities as well, but a total of 93 teams, 265-plus games in 14 days is where it stands right now, and action all gets underway 1 week from yesterday. Will be the first day at Moore High School in Louisville. The Scribner Middle School will host the first night on Thursday, May 31st in Indiana. The schedule's out to the head coaches, and I've seen the schedule. It's an absolute masterpiece, let me tell you. But it will be out this weekend to fans and parents and other people that are asking about it. So for us, for basketball junkies, this is a month where we can kind of relive our passion a little bit, and we'll have on all the coaches this month in the area for a summer update. And we'll be doing that on Thursdays once baseball kind of winds down to catch up on things. So I'm excited about that, excited to hear from some of the coaches again, but excited to see some games. And the great thing is, and you've taken part in this before, you can pay $2 and come out and watch a whole bunch of games, because not only will games on most nights, once it really gets cranked up in the month of June, about a week or so into June, New Albany High School, two courts, Scribner Middle School, two courts, Hazelwood Middle School, two courts, and then Christian Academy of Indiana on a couple nights will be used as well. So you potentially have eight courts of basketball going that you can go around to for $2. So if you're a diehard fan like Lee Kelly and Matt Dennison, this is a good time to get out and watch some summer hoops, and most importantly for us to talk about what the upcoming season looks like, a real, real early look. You know, all these college basketball rankings coming out way too early, top 25s. Well, we'll be able to give a way too early ranking of the team once we see them play in June.
Yeah, I have enjoyed watching this for a number of years. It's just a lot of fun, and a lot of times people just don't know the schedule. So I try to post it on Facebook to let people know, or Twitter, let them know who's playing when, and I normally concentrate more on New Albany than other teams. But it's just a lot of fun. It's a relaxed atmosphere. The players, while they play very hard, it's a little different feel, but you really get a sense of the teams and the players, and it's just a fun time. I enjoy seeing old friends in the stands, sitting and talking with them while we watch. And you can watch two or three games in a given night or a day for that $2. So it's cheap entertainment, but very enjoyable.
So, again, a lot of games coming up. We'll keep you posted with the schedule. Each day we'll be previewing teams for next year with the coaches once they get their first look, because they can practice and work with their team in the month of June. Many take advantage of that. They play some games in this league during the week. They play some other tournaments and events, maybe on college campuses. I know New Albany is going to Archie Miller's team camp at IU this year. Floyd Central went a year ago, and I understand from some folks involved with that that he's going to have some really good players and teams on campus for that event again this year. So June's always interesting. You get a real chance to look ahead to the season. I think the storyline of this season is still Romeo. It's how do you replace Romeo, not just from New Albany's lineup for Jim Shannon, but for what he did for the area and raising the bar, raising the interest level of high school basketball. A lot of holes to fill, again, not just at New Albany, but across the area, although I still think that there will be some really competitive teams from our immediate area for next season. So we'll have fun talking about all that in the month of June. One other basketball note, Kentucky, Indiana, Junior All-Star Series. The two states have Junior All-Star teams, and there will be a series between the two teams. I think the Indiana side of the game is going to be at Indianapolis-Ben Davis, but I do know it was announced yesterday that the first game will be played at Trinity High School in Louisville on June 2nd. The girls' junior game will tip off at 2 o'clock. The boys' game will follow at 4 o'clock, and tickets will be available at the door for $10. We'll tell you more about the rosters and so forth as that game gets a little closer. But some basketball returning, not only the Summer League we just mentioned, but the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games on June 8th and 9th. There are, I understand now, under 400 tickets left for the game at Bellarmine. You can buy those at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. And, of course, on Wednesday, June 6th, the exhibition game at New Albany between the Junior All-Stars, some of the same ones that will play in the game against Kentucky, against the Indiana Senior All-Stars, which will feature Romeo Langford, Sean East, and, of course, a host of other IU players and top players from the state of Indiana as well. So a lot of basketball for a basketball-crazed area coming up here in just a couple weeks. Want to get back to some baseball real quick here in this headline segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Last night we had the opportunity to call two great games. New Albany and Seymour went down to the wire. Floyd Central and Bedford down to the wire as well. Look at some scores from last night just to kind of take you across the area and who played well and who did what. Seymour 3-2 winners, a big upset as we said. Bedford North Lawrence got it going late, was able to put away Floyd Central 8-3. That put Seymour and Bedford the first game Saturday in the semifinals at Jeffersonville. The Red Devils will play Jennings County in the bye game later that afternoon. Silver Creek 3A, that's where we will be this evening for Providence, Silver Creek, and Charlestown, Salem. That's an 8-team sectional, so it's a very, very busy week at Silver Creek. A lot of games will be played on that field. North Harrison beat Scottsburg 3-1 last night, and Brownstown doubled Cordon 6-3 to advance on to the semifinals, and those are on Friday, I do believe, in that sectional. Last night at Clarksville, the 2A game, one opening game, Lanesville, a 1A school, up now to 2A with all of their success and a state championship a year ago. They won last night over a good Henryville team, 5-3 in that sectional, 1A sectional action. Christian Academy of Indiana 13, Shaw Memorial 3. That game was at Shaw Memorial. Softball sectional results, let's throw some of those in quickly as well. Bedford North Lawrence hosting the 4A sectional. Last night was the semifinal round. Floyd Central falls to Seymour. Big upset, as we told you, 4-2. And Bedford North Lawrence blanked Jeffersonville 14-0. So New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central all eliminated from the 4A sectional. No local teams left to follow in that one. Cordon, the 3A sectional. Silver Creek, a winner, 8-5 over Salem. And Cordon, a winner, 9-5 over Brownstown. Silver Creek and Cordon play tonight for that championship. 2A sectional at Eastern Pekin. Henryville, a 10-0 winner over Crawford County. Eastern Pekin won 7-4 over Clarksville. That puts Henryville against Pekin tonight in the championship game of the local 2A sectional. And the Borden 1A sectional, Lanesville blank Borden 4-0. South Central ran away from New Washington 19-4. It's Lanesville against South Central in the championship game of that. And also a tennis regional. Providence defeated Floyd Central 4-1 to win the regional for the third straight year. Providence tennis 18-1 on the season. They will play Castle at the Evansville-Ballsy regional at Jasper. They will beat the Castle Evansville-Ballsy winner, I believe, at the regional Jasper Saturday, if I got that correct. So am I wrong? Okay, yeah. Correct me.
Poor information from me on that part. Castle won the Evansville-Ballsy Regional,
okay.
And so that's who Providence will meet at Jasper this
semi-state.
Saturday.
Semi-state. Semi-state, okay. Right. So we wanted to give Providence a plug. I don't know that we did a good job, but there you go. Congratulations to Providence and the tennis team. That's a look at the headlines on this Thursday edition of the program. We step aside for a commercial break. We come back with Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports. So stay with us for that. Our headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a break. Come back with Alex Bozich, IU basketball, and more coming your way right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, joined always on Thursdays by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall for the latest in IU basketball and more when Alex joins us on this segment, presented by CC Power Sports. And a ton of stuff to get to today. Even though it's the off season, we continue to have lots of IU basketball topics to talk about. And Alex, a lot of discussion yesterday on social media. There were some various reports out about Indiana's academic progress rate, better known as APR. It fell for the third straight year, and the data that was released yesterday would go back to Tom Crean's final stint in Bloomington, final season in Bloomington, I should say. So kind of summarize the situation for us. I think there obviously is concern when you talk about grades and academic slipping, and the rate that you score can be tied to your ability to appear in the postseason long term.
Yeah, there's nothing really to worry about in terms of postseason and eligibility on the immediate horizon. But when you look at what kind of transpired early in Tom Crean's tenure in Indiana, you know, he obviously inherited a difficult situation in terms of what was left there for him academically. And one of the things that he did was turn that around rather quickly. And that was one thing that was really touted kind of there the first couple of years of his tenure in Bloomington, was how strong the program did in terms of his APR scores, and had several years, I think four in a row, where they had a perfect APR score. And then towards the end of his tenure, which these numbers that came out yesterday reflect not only a four-year average, but also a single-year score. That this is the third straight year that the multi-year score for Indiana men's basketball and the APR went down. So it's going to be something that Archie Miller and the new coaching staff are going to have to deal with a little bit, make sure that you know, they get things trending back upwards, because you obviously don't want to get into a situation where you're having to worry about postseason eligibility. But I would say at this point there's nothing really immediate on the horizon, but it's something that Indiana needs to work on moving forward. And for those that really don't understand what the APR is, it's basically a metric that the NCAA set up. APR is short for academic progress rate, and it's basically just measuring, the players in your program and whether or not they're successfully progressing towards a degree. And there's different benchmarks that are looked at, and things like players leaving early for professionally that aren't in good academic standing, guys leaving for transfers that aren't in good academic standing can all affect the score. It's a somewhat complicated system to figure out the numbers and such for, but, really the reality is that the numbers released yesterday show that later in Tom Crean's tenure in Bloomington, things weren't trending in the right direction from an APR perspective.
I read your article this morning on Inside the Hall, and even went to the NCAA website and looked at Indiana, and didn't realize, because I don't realize a lot of things, that it's for every sport. And it listed every sport at IU, not just football and basketball or major sports, mm-hmm. but every single sport at IU goes under the same microscope.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive thing. I mean, it's not, obviously you mentioned all sports, it's at every school. And there actually have been schools that have lost the postseason eligibility as a result of this. I think last year in men's basketball, there were three programs that were ineligible to play. I think based on the numbers released yesterday, there's going to be maybe one this coming season that's ineligible. But, it's interesting to kind of look across the different sports, obviously, at IU. And it's not good to see where men's basketball is currently in terms of where it sticks up, stands out with other programs. Right now, in terms of multi-year APR score, only Ohio State in men's basketball in the Big Ten has a lower score than Indiana. And Indiana, I think men's basketball right now is ranked in the 10th to the 20th percentile nationally in terms of APR and across men's basketball and the sport. So, it's definitely something that will be top of mind for the new coaching staff. And I think the important thing to remember for those that look at this is like these numbers that released yesterday are no reflection on Archie Miller or any of the current staff that's there in Bloomington. It really only encompasses, the four-year rolling average. The last year included in that data right now is the 2016-17 season. And so next May, we'll have the four-year average. We'll have Crean's final 3 years and then Archie Miller's first year. And we'll at least get a better glimpse of how things are progressing under Archie Miller and the new coaching staff.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. This segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports, with locations serving Indiana and in Kentucky, one in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County carries Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, other things to talk about from an IU basketball perspective, I do want to mention for just a moment, and I said this in the first segment today, Victor Oladipo, a great season for the Pacers. IU fans adore him. He was named to the NBA All-Defensive Team, one of a handful of selections to that honor, and that's really great stuff. I think that shows what a complete player that he has become professionally, and probably a key trait to his game that's going to allow him to continue to be not only a star for the Pacers, but have a long-term NBA career.
Yeah, it's interesting. Less than a year ago from right now, when Oladipo was traded to the Pacers, there was a lot written that Kevin Pritchard, the Pacers general manager, or basketball director, whatever he is, team president, got really a poor return in the Paul George trade from Oklahoma City. And a lot of people looked at Victor Oladipo's contract, which I think was 4 years, $84 million, and wondered if it was, going to hurt the Pacers in terms of their payroll and what they were paying him. And now, based on the season he had, he was an all-star. Now he's an all-defensive first-team guy. I think he's probably going to be the NBA's most improved player. That award will be announced here, I think, sometime in the next couple weeks. He almost looks like a bargain. It looks like really the Pacers were the ones that won that trade very clearly, especially if Paul George leaves Oklahoma City. So it's just great to see Victor be rewarded for his work ethic and how complete of a player he is, as you mentioned. I mean, he's not just a guy that scores. He's a guy that plays both ends. He was like that at Indiana. I think that was really one of the reasons that Indiana was able to have the success those 2 years. That they were really good when Victor was there. It was not only his ability to score and do things on the offensive end, his defense kind of speaks to being a true two-way player. And in the NBA, that's really valuable. So just glad to see how the everything worked out for him and the Pacers, because it's great to see, basketball in the city of Indiana be strong across all levels. And it looks like the Pacers have a really good, bright future, and Victor Oladipo is obviously a huge part of that.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, just a week away or a week or so away from the IU on the Road tour at Huber's. Archie Miller scheduled to be one of the speakers. So, again, that's always fun in the off season. It gives us something to talk about and hear from Archie directly on. But this stop here, I think, will have a little different feel to it, much as everything has in the off season since Langford's commitment to Indiana, because fans are just ready for the season. So for Archie and for the football coach and for other IU coaches to caravan down to southern Indiana right here in Romeo country and talk about next season, I think it's going to be – I know it's a sold-out crowd, but I think you'll see a crowd that is very, very excited and passionate, much like they were for Archie's first stop on the caravan.
Yeah, it's really become one of the more important off-season events, at least from the media perspective, when covering IU basketball. I mean, Archie Miller doesn't talk a lot to the media in the off-season, which that's obviously – his prerogative and just kind of the way he does things. But, you know, people will obviously crave and want information year-round about IU basketball. So it's an opportunity for us to ask him some questions and get some updates on how things are going in the offseason. And he was great last year down there. You know, talked to us, answered questions for about 20 minutes, and then obviously gave his speech. And a lot of information typically comes out of that. So if you can't make it out, I would definitely obviously stay tuned in the match show. And obviously from our website inside the hall, we'll have complete coverage of the event. Usually you learn a lot. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of questions from us about Romeo. It'll be his first time, I think, speaking publicly, at least to the media, about him. I'm sure there's going to be questions about what happens with Juwan Morgan, because at that time, you know, that's actually the deadline for him to either say he's staying in the draft or coming back to school. So he'll probably at that point be able to speak to that and that decision. And so I think a lot of valuable information is going to come out of that. It's always interesting just to see the fans and such in this part of the stage who are so passionate for IU, have a chance to interact with the coaches, different people from the athletic department. And it's a really good time. So if you can't make it out, obviously stay tuned for our coverage. But I think it's going to be a really valuable event. I think it's going to be a fun night. And, it's become one of the, as I said, one of the more important nights in terms of just getting information of the offseason when it comes to IU basketball.
Alex, you mentioned just a minute ago that Archie doesn't talk to the media a whole lot during the off season, and certainly there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. But
no.
Some of the head basketball coaches, especially D1 schools, have an ego that's just slightly less than the entire world. Other coaches, they're there to do a job just like if they were a bank president or something else, and Archie seems to fall into that category. I have never met Archie or talked to Archie, but I know you have. And is he a congenial person to deal with, even though he doesn't have apparently a giant ego, doesn't need to see his name in print or hear it on the 6 o'clock news every single day like some people? But is he easy to work with in other regards?
Oh, absolutely. He's just a very serious person in general. From my dealings with him, he's always going to say hi, be nice to you, but he's not a type of person that's going to stand around and chit chat or waste time, just talking for the sake of it. You know, if you watch his press conferences, he answers their questions, but he's very direct and to the point. His demeanor, for the most part, in dealing with the media is always the same. He's respectful, but at the same time, you know, he's serious about what he's doing. You know, he'll crack a smile or a joke from time to time, but he, as you said, he's there to do a job. He's not there to, promote his Twitter account. He's not there to get likes on Instagram. He's there to make Indiana basketball better. He's not worried, I don't think, about what's going on the outside, nor should he be. I think that's one of the major differences that I've really observed between him and Tom Crean. It was a lot of times Tom Crean was too worried about what was going on outside the doors of Indiana basketball, and Archie Miller is not really concerned about much other than, you know, running his program, developing his relationship with his players and making his players better, and I think that's the mindset you have to have at a program like Indiana. Now, you know, he obviously does the things like Cubers, which is, you know, a PR event. You get out, you shake hands, you meet fans, and that's part of your responsibility when you're the IU basketball coach. You go to a game and a kid wants a picture with you, you do things like that. But at the same time, he's not the type of person, I don't think, that's seeking out headlines or seeking out attention. He's just a very serious-minded guy, concentrates a ton on his work as the head basketball coach in Indiana. And I think, his message is obviously resonating with recruits, and those are the guys that really matter most in his job, not what other people think of him. And I think as long as he continues to bring in great players to Indiana and continues to make guys better, he's going to have a very long and very successful career in Bloomington.
Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports. Follow Alex at Inside the Hall on Twitter. at InsideTheHall.com, his website. And he's presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so we'll visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, always fun to talk IU basketball, even in the off-season. We'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
We'll head to a final commercial break. Come back with Jeff baseball coach Derek Ellis. His program plays Saturday. They drew the bye against Jennings County, a favorable draw for the Red Devils. He's going to talk some sectional baseball with us, including last night's two opening round games out at Jeffersonville after the commercial break. Also, I just saw this on Twitter. This is just a report, but the Orlando Magic have expressed interest in Michigan State coach Tom Izzo for the team's head coaching position, league sources told The Atlantic, is what has been reported. Now, again, just because they expressed interest in him doesn't mean Tom Izzo has any interest in going to the NBA. Who knows? But that is interesting, especially because of some of the issues that Michigan State, its athletic department, and even Tom Izzo have been under fire for. So that's interesting, maybe a little more interesting than what it would have been a couple of years ago when his name was mentioned for some other NBA jobs. So something to follow also here in the offseason. College coaches, will anybody head to the NBA with openings that exist there? We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Derek Ellis, Jeff baseball coach, next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back for a final segment here on this Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly with me in studio, and we have Jeffersonville baseball coach Derek Ellis joining us by phone here in this segment. Coach Ellis, the draw first came out. I thought, man, the Red Devils got a pretty favorable draw. They don't have to play until Saturday in the semifinal round. That's a pretty good deal for Coach Ellis and his team. And then I remembered last night as we were broadcasting both of the two opening round games, you're responsible for the facility. You got to keep the field up all week and hope that weather doesn't affect the schedule. So you were trying to do a little scouting last night, trying to keep the field in shape for both of those great games that you played host to last night. So even though your team doesn't play till Saturday with practice and running the sectional and the field maintenance and those sort of items, it's a very busy week for you regardless.
Yeah, it is, Matt. It's a lot of fun, though. It's great being able to host it, being at your park, just the atmosphere. But taking care of the field, I love doing that kind of stuff. The field's in great shape. Got a lot of nice compliments about it, you know, last night. Yeah, tried to do a little bit of scouting, you know, just trying to get a feel. That's the first time that I've seen Spalding pitch, so I wanted to get a feel for that if they moved on. But at the end of the day, the only team that matters right now is Jennings County. And as you've seen from last night and even over on the softball side, nobody's immune from being upset. So we can't take Jennings County lightly. We've got to focus on those guys and make sure we're ready to play on Saturday.
Coach, are you a little concerned about overconfidence? You're dealing with 14 to 18-year-old teenagers, and they're facing a team that hasn't had an outstanding year, and there were a couple of games last night that actually ended up different than I thought they would. So is there a possibility your team might go in thinking, hey, we're ready to go play in the regional next week?
Well, I hope not. There's always that fear. We do have a nice level-headed senior class. We've had those discussions with some of the guys and hopefully that they were listening. We don't want to be overconfident going in, and we don't want to think past Jennings County. You know, when things like last night happen and you start thinking that, well, New Albany's out and Floyd Central's out, you can have a tendency to not focus on the team that you're playing, and we don't want to go down that road. We want to stay in the present. We want to stay focused on Jennings County and not think about a Monday night matchup or what's going to happen the following Saturday in Evansville. We really need to make sure that we stay where our feet are, and that's against Jennings County.
Talking with Jeffersonville baseball coach Derek Ellis. Let's look at Saturday for just a moment here. The first semifinal game will feature Seymour, again, who beat number one ranked New Albany last night in a thriller 3-2, and then Bedford North Lawrence, who put Floyd Central out last night by a score of 8-3. That'll be the first game scheduled for a 1 o'clock first pitch, and then the Jeff Red Devils will take on Jennings County in the second semifinal that day. The winners will play for a scheduled 1 o'clock first pitch on Memorial Day Monday for the winner, and the winner going on to the regional that very next Saturday, just 4 days later. Saturday should be a great day of baseball. It wasn't, I don't think, what a lot of us thought it might be, with perhaps New Albany and Floyd Central doing battle before the Red Devils played Jennings County, but that just kind of underscores what Lee just asked you about. You never know, especially in baseball, where pitching is so important, exactly how things are going to play out. Looking at Jennings County, you guys played them in the regular season. You handled them in the regular season. But, again, a one-game setting, they do have, and his name slips my mind, I'm sure you'll remember, but they do have a decent pitcher that I would fully expect them to throw against your team on Saturday. So it's a game that, even though the results earlier this year have said one thing, you've got to go in very cautious.
We do, and Pettit is the kid that'll be on the mound. He's their best player. I mean, he's played several positions for him. I mean, he pitches, he plays short, first, outfield. I mean, he's their go-to guy. He's going to be on the mound for sure. He pitched against us. We did score some runs against him. But you're right. In baseball, man, I mean, if he's on and he's having a good day and keeping us off balance, anything can happen. So we're just going to go out there and hopefully continue to do what we've always been doing. We hit the baseball and we score runs, and we usually play good defense, and I like my pitching staff. So we know what we're going to get. We just got to make sure that the Red Devil team that we all know and love shows up and is ready to go.
Coach, we're really excited about another game tonight, Silver Creek and Providence. And I know you are so consumed, as any coach is, with his team and with practices. And, of course, as I mentioned this week, you've got to keep the field up and prepared for all the games being played at Don Poole Field, which did look beautiful, by the way, absolutely just gorgeous to get the sectional underway, both weather and the condition of your field last night. But as a guy, and we talk so much about Southern Indiana baseball and how underrated it is in some regards, and then we talk a lot about your sons that have went on to play college ball, and now Drew playing professionally in the Diamondbacks organization, about how good some of the teams and some of the sectionals and the postseasons have been in recent years for Southern Indiana baseball. As the coach at Jeffersonville who's consumed with all this, trying to get your team ready for Saturday and beyond, do you get a chance to pause and think about a good game like a Silver Creek Providence or some of the other teams in the area, or is that during sectional week just kind of hard to think about anything other than your own deal?
You know, I do think about it. I'd like to get out and see some of those games because, like you said, Southern Indiana baseball is as strong as it's ever been. I mean, you can go to Silver Creek or Providence or Lanesville, Borden, Jeffersonville, New Albany, Floyd Central. I mean, you name it. I mean, you can go anywhere within a 30, 40-mile radius and see some really good high school baseball. But, you know, trying to get out and watch those games, maybe if Silver Creek and Providence were 4A schools, I'd probably be there doing a little scouting. Mm-hmm. But having the sectional, we'll probably listen to it on the radio if you guys are going to broadcast it and just kind of go from there.
Coach, we saw we saw a number of pitching performances last night, but kind of surprised when I saw Perry for the first time for Seymour and the Thacker kid from Bedford North Lawrence. Perry 8-1 coming in. I kind of expected a big, hefty fastball and a little bit of overpowering. And Thacker, just a sophomore, when he was warming up, I thought, man, is the ball going to get to home plate? But once the game started, Thacker, after the first inning, settled down and just did a masterful job just keeping batters off balance. So it's not about necessarily having that big boy fastball to throw. If you know how to pitch and move the ball around and have a good breaking ball or good movement on the ball, you can do an outstanding job as a high school pitcher.
Oh, absolutely right on that, Lee. And it's not about velocity all the time. It's about keeping your hitters off balance, throwing strikes, throwing ground balls, hitting your spots, letting your defense make some plays. And you can just ask one of my pitchers about that, Connor Christopher. Connor's had an outstanding year for us. He's 6-1, but for the most part, you know, he lives around, you know, 79 to 81 miles an hour, but has a great changeup, great curveball, you know, a two-seamer, and throws a lot of ground balls. And, you know, we made the plays behind him, you know, pitching to contact. So you don't have to be a flamethrower by any means to be successful on the mound. And I wish everybody would understand that instead of trying to go out there and just throw it as hard as you can past everybody and just try to hit your spots and keep guys off balance and let your defense help. And, you know, first pitch strikes, can't say enough about that. I mean, to get ahead in the count makes your life a whole lot easier if you're pitching ahead.
We're talking with Jeffersonville baseball coach Derek Ellis here on this Thursday show. Coach, you talked earlier about your confidence in your pitching staff. And, again, as you get into the postseason, with as funny of a game as baseball is, that really helps when you've got a deep pitching staff, and it helps when you as the manager of the team has a lot of confidence in those guys. Gabe Bierman, we've had on this program. He's an IU commit. He has been since early in his high school baseball career. Well known what his arsenal is and what he's done to help Jeff baseball over the years, and how you will rely on him as this postseason hopefully continues for Jeffersonville. But one pitcher that I've only seen a handful of times but definitely been impressed with is Ethan English. And I know he's committed to play college baseball at a smaller level, but, boy, I think he's someone that has really been a boost to your pitching lineup.
Oh, without question. Ethan English is, first of all, Ethan is just a super individual and a great kid. And he's got a really bright future at Indiana Wesleyan. They're getting a great kid and a great baseball player, and he's gonna blow it up for those guys. And I can't imagine he's not going to be a two-way player for him at Indiana Wesleyan, because, you know, he's 88-92 on the mound. He has a .54 ERA for us right now. He's been pitching extremely well all year long. And then at the plate, I mean, he's got video game numbers at the plate. You know, he's hitting .545. 50 for 92 with 9 home runs, 40 RBIs in 26 games. So you're talking about a guy who has numbers to be Gatorade Player of the Year. So it's been really cool coaching a kid like that, and I'm excited for him. I hope that he continues on his hot streak. We're going to need him down the stretch here if we're going to make a deep run in the state tournament, which I really think that we can.
Derek Ellis of Jeffersonville, our guest. I tell you, you know, pitching is obviously very important, but so is senior leadership as well. The Red Devils have some of that too.
Yeah, I mean, we got a great group of guys that really like each other. I think the last time I was on, we talked about our team chemistry a little bit, and I really love coaching this team because all the guys really like each other and they like playing for each other. And there's not a lot of big, gigantic egos where they're playing for themselves. They really go out of their way to help their teammates, and that's been a joy to watch. And when you have that type of chemistry and that type of atmosphere in the locker room and on the field, I mean, those are the kind of teams that can make big runs and stay in a tournament for a long time. So, you know, hopefully we can we'll continue that in the Jennings County game, and we'll see what happens after that. But, man, these guys are a lot of fun to coach.
Hey, Coach, you were kind enough to stop by the broadcast booth last night during the Floyd Central Bedford game, in between trying to scout, in between trying to keep things running at the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville. I know you gave an update on Drew playing out in California with the Diamondbacks organization and one of their minor league teams. But for somebody that maybe wasn't listening to the game last night, give us a brief update on Drew and his progress. I know he's continuing to play very well and getting some good remarks in the Diamondbacks organization as a young prospect to watch.
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's starting to settle in a little bit and get a little more comfortable, I think, with everything. He's about 40 games or so into the season right now. He's hitting around 265 with six homers and 31 RBIs, leading the team in some of those categories as well, playing a nice solid third base for him. You know, he's just starting to figure it out, and I think big things are ahead for him. He's just doing a nice job. He goes about his business professionally, and the Diamondbacks really like him. So as long as he stays consistent and finds that consistency in his ball game, I think he's going to go really far. Nothing surprises me with Drew. You know, he's always said that. He said, "Dad, I'm going to be on the All-American wall out there." And you just kind of nod and say, "Okay, that's great," when he was at Louisville. And he said, "I'm going to be all-conference." And he goes, "I'm going to hit more home runs than McKay." And you just kind of snicker and laugh. And then when he does it, it's like, "Oh, okay, he did it." So, you know, when he tells me that he's going to be in the big leagues, I'm not going to doubt him. So I know that's what he wants. That's what he's striving for, and he works really hard at it. I'm very proud of him, you know, as a dad. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting out there and seeing him after we make our deep run here in the tournament.
Derek Ellis, head coach of Jeff Baseball, host of the 4A sectional this week. Coach Ellis, thanks for the call today, the opportunity to hear about your team in this very important week, and we'll see you on Saturday afternoon. Let's knock on wood for great weather at Don Poole Field.
Yeah, let's keep it dry. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Derek Ellis, coach at Jeffersonville. Don't forget Lee and I, PK Falkenstein as well. We're back at it tonight with high school baseball in the 3A sectional. We'll have a twin bill tonight. Silver Creek taking on Providence, a huge game. Charlestown and Salem to follow. Lee, I'll see you there. Thanks for being with us today, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.